Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
I just want to start off this morning by saying I'm super bleak, eh? Ask Wally, hey Walt, is it okay to preach with a t-shirt? He says, hey, what's a college shirt? It'd be better. And all of you guys are wearing t-shirts. So. Hey? I feel like I've been set up, man. Yeah. It is such an honor and a privilege. And you're going to hear that word often, I think, as we speak this morning, because it really, really is. We consider it an honor and a privilege to be back in this house this morning. We have had an amazing, the most amazing time of our lives here. As Walt said, being saved, being raised in this home, and being released and set free to go and plant in Jeffrey's Bay. But what a privilege it is to be with you here this morning. We thank you for welcoming us. And Wally, I think especially after the start that I had with preaching that evening at the Bloberg Library Hall, and you graciously gave me an opportunity to preach, I'm surprised you gave me the microphone again. Wins and Michael, Steph, and our two children, Gemma and Jethro, are with us here this morning. So it's fantastic to have you down here. They actually came down. Came down here for a Linkin Park concert and a wedding. Yeah, but they felt a bit guilty about not coming to church, so that's why they're here this morning. How do you go all the way to Cape Town for a concert and not come to worship Jesus? Eh? It's wonderful. Great to have you here. Wins, would you like to stand up for a moment, please? I want to honor you this morning, too. This is Wendy, who is a daughter in the faith to us, and the most amazing thing is Wendy knew before we did that she'd be in Jeffrey's Bay. So she came to speak to us. We were friends at that time and said, I just feel like God's calling me to Jeffrey's Bay. What do I do with this? Because there's no relating church there. And as it turned out, Wendy heard before we did that she'd be in Jeffrey's Bay. There is so much, as you can imagine, there's so much that's happened in 4.5 years of what God has done. And I've done my best, and I trust that what comes out this morning is going to honor Jesus first and foremost. And it's going to encourage you, because really what we want to do is put Jesus on display. We want to acknowledge Him for His greatness, for all that He has done. That's the desire of our hearts. And there's no better encouragement than to see Jesus revealed that inspires us to great things. And so our journey began that fateful night, when Michelle and I, I'd been born and raised in a Christian home, but I'd turned away. I wasn't following Jesus at the time. Michi had kind of backslidden from a wonderful relationship with the Lord, and she was pregnant with Gemma. And so being good Christian parents, we were looking around for a church, because we wanted to, you know, raise our children in a Christian way. And we were looking for a nice big church where we could come in, you know, settle down, slip out without being noticed, and didn't have to commit to anything, just do the right thing. And how amazing it was that God in His wisdom saves us and puts us into a church of about 6 people. You know how difficult it is to slip away from 6 people? Amazing. And yeah, we didn't know any better, Walt. That's why we just put our hands up for everything, you know. What he suggested, and we thought, he's the leader, he knows, man, we're in, this is brilliant. And just how incredibly God has used us, the privilege of being used by Him. And Walton Shill, how can we not but honor you this morning? Truly, yeah. The love that we have for you guys is inexplicable. We can't put it into words. We do know that you're going to enjoy the rest of eternity, just enjoying the rewards of your great service to the King. And we, as Walt said, we've had times of laughing, we've had times of weeping together, we've had the good stuff, we've had the bad stuff, normal Christian life. And what a privilege it has been to be fathered and to be shepherded, to be led, to be mentored, to be loved by you two and your girls. And we want to honor you this morning. Life Changes, I want to say to you guys that you probably realize the absolute privilege that it is to have Wally and Shirley and this great team of men and women leading you. If you don't, I want to urge you with everything that's in me, get to know them. Get to know them. Get to know their hearts. Because when you do, you're going to die for the King. And you will die for them. Truly, it's been an absolute honor. All that we are, all that Jesus has done in us and through us, is because of what you guys are to us. And that for us is precious. We really do. We love you guys, Jackson. It's a privilege to be back here. So, May 1999, Jesus mercifully reached down and saved, as Mishy would say, he saved our sorry butts from an eternity in hell. And for us, it was a crazy thing because we got invited to this life group and we thought we'll go because my mom had been hounding me. And I thought we'd just go and say, Mom, we've been there, but it really wasn't our style. And we could leave again. And the Lord gets us saved, plugs us in. And about probably 3 months later, I think it was, we get this prophetic word from a wonderful lady with a prophetic gift called Velma Clinand. And part of that whole thing, a very strong thrust in the prophetic word, was church planting. And at the time, we were clueless. We didn't even know what it meant. You know, we were part of a church plant, but really didn't know what it meant. But as the years went on, the 9 years that we were here, Wally and Shirley, and the Lord just helped shape us and prepare us, until we got to April, the year 2008. And to cut a long story short, because I know that we don't have until 12 o'clock, we just felt that Jeffreys Bay was the place that God had called us. We'd never been there before, never ever been through the town. And we visited, came back, chatted it through with the elders, and just said, guys, we really do sense that this is where God's calling us to be. And we were sent out, thrust out, planted out, from Life Changes to plant face-to-face church in Jeffreys Bay through the preaching of the gospel. And I want to say that when we left here, we felt like the Israelites leaving Egypt. It felt like we were God's favorite son because we felt that we left here with all of the treasures, with the prayers, the blessings, the encouragement, the prophetic words, physically, practically, the way that you as a church blessed us, supported us through sound equipment, audio-visual stuff. We left here with our hearts filled and with the boot of our cars filled to overflowing. And we arrived in Jeffreys Bay in April 2008 to start face-to-face church. And I just really want to share a little bit of that journey. I'm going to ask Mishy just now to share too with you. And it's some of the highlights. We could literally be here for days going through all of the details of what God has done and His goodness and His kindness to us and the city of Jay Bay. But I'm going to do my best just to summarize some of that for you. Michael and Wendy put together a slideshow of some of the pictures. If we can get that up and running, it would be absolutely fantastic. putting that together for us. I think probably one of the most outstanding things about our journey this far with Jesus is just how different our future looks to what we expected it to be. When we left here, because of our past experience, what we'd been exposed to, there were kind of some preconceived things on how a church gets planted and how it grows and, you know, what happens in the life of the church. And for us, it's been profound as to how different our future looks. By now, we probably thought after 4.5 years down the line that we'd have about 150 people, maybe even have our own building, that I'd be full-time serving Jesus, being paid staff. And the reality is that our future looks super different from what we expected it to be. I have the privilege of working in a surf shop by way of it being a mission field, and the Lord's chosen that way as well for us to provide for us as a family. And it's nothing like what we expected it would look like. And the reason I say that to you is because I think oftentimes, just in our own personal lives, there's certain assumptions that we make about what God is going to do and how He's going to do that. And the danger in that is that we rely on ourselves and we become independent of God and not dependent, staying dependent on Him. And there were some tough lessons that we learned. You know, we brought so much. There was so much that we learned in the 9 years that we were with Life Changes Church. And it was kind of like we wanted to do Life Changes Church in a mini version and just call it face-to-face church because we'd seen these things working. You know, we'd seen prayer groups working. We'd seen ministry work in this way. We'd seen the way the church was structured, and that was working. And we found out, I think through some painful lessons and bumping our head against the wall a few times, that actually the future that Jesus had for face-to-face church is very different. And so many of much of our learning has come through understanding that actually it is so good for us to find what it is that Jesus has called us to be as a church. And that transfers into us individually. That we don't compare ourselves. You know, we look at ourselves, even now, we fight against that thing at times. You know, look, 4.5 years down the line, and we've got this amazing bunch of people who love Jesus. But man, it looks so different from what we thought. And not comparing that to others who have planted churches at similar times. Because understanding that God works in each of us different things, different levels, we have a different purpose. And just working through that whole thing of not only being comfortable with who God's called us to be, but actually embracing that individually as a church, just saying, Jesus, thank you that so much of your time and effort has gone into making me like I am. This church growing to be who you've called her to be, and celebrating that. And so can I say to you this morning, Life Changes Church, if God has spoken prophetically over your life, or if there are things that are burning in your heart, stay totally dependent on Him to see those worked out. Don't make the mistake of assuming things. Don't make the mistake of assuming that your future is going to look in a specific way, and as a result of that, fall into the trap of becoming independent of God instead of dependent on Him and saying, Father, what are you wanting to do and how are you wanting to do that? Part of this journey, it probably won't come as a surprise to many of you, but it came to as a bit of a surprise to me, is I'm not as great as I think I am. And Jesus is much greater than I thought He was. I'm not as great as I thought I am. Jesus is much greater than I thought and knew He was. And it's been a humbling thing. There have been many, many lessons that we've learned. Some of them have been internal. Some of them have been external, things that have happened that have just really caused us to be humbled before God. The very fact that He's chosen us and entrusted with us the privilege of leading a body of people, His body of people, the family of God, is a hugely humbling thing for us. And we've learned that actually my way is not the only way. And my way is not the best way, even though we sometimes think it is. And it's been so exciting just to see Wally and Shirl and the way that they're leading from the time that we were here, just to see you guys growing in the way that you're leading And we were chatting to somebody earlier on, Walter, just to commend you, just saying, you know, that you're a team man. You've been leading churches, you've been saved for years. You know, if anybody kind of had the right to say, man, I've done this, I know it, trust me, it would possibly be you, but you don't. You say, guys, I'm open to suggestions. Is there a better way of doing this? Is there a new way of doing this? And man, for you guys, as Life Changes Church, you've got the privilege of being on the cutting edge of what God is doing. Please hear when I say that. I mean that, because the danger is you look at other churches around in the city and in the world who are doing a whole lot of great stuff. There's a lot of flash, there's a lot of color, there's a lot of light. But you guys on the cutting edge of substance of what God is doing, because you have a leadership team of people who are saying, Jesus, what are you wanting to do? How are you wanting to do it? I know you've done it like this in the past, but how are you wanting to do it with us? And in doing that, we stay on the cutting edge, the front line of that kingdom advancing, not slipping into a place of comfortability. We've learned in this journey of ours that God is an incredibly faithful Father. He is so, so faithful. We have found He's been faithful in His provision for us. As I said, the way that Life Changes Church have supported us has been way beyond what we could have asked for, much more than we could have imagined, and for us has been such an amazing help. And beyond that, we've seen the miraculous provision of God. We've seen Him provide for us as a family in ways that we don't know where it's come from, how it's come, but it's come. And in the 4.5 years that we've been in Jeffreys Bay, we've had times of plenty, and we've had times of less than plenty. But we've never gone without what we need. And when David says in the Psalms that I was young, now I'm old, and I have never seen the children of the righteous having to beg for bread. And we've experienced that. We've experienced the faithfulness of God, and we'd heard about it, we'd learnt about it, and God has graciously given us an opportunity to make that real for us. So that now, that faith, that level of faith and our trust in God as a Father is, Lord, we know that You're going to provide for us. We know that for sure. You have. You're faithful. You've got an amazing track record, 100% track record of faithfulness. It's been wonderful just to see how He's provided in so many other ways. How faithful He has been, just in loving us, in connecting us with people in the Eastern Cape. When we moved up there, we didn't know many people. And as part of that tribe of New Covenant Ministries, just to see how God has put us into an amazing family, there is nothing that we have lacked. Nothing. We've done without. We've gone without, but we have never lacked anything. Nothing. Because God is a faithful, faithful Father. And one of the things that we've learned is when you look at what you don't have, you feel poor. When you look at what you don't have, you feel poor. When you look at what you do have, you realize you're rich. And so we've learned just to try as best we can to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. To find our fulfillment, to find our full satisfaction in Him. To find our contentment in Him. Things look way different from what we thought they would. But man, they're so much better. We're learning that. I told you about what we expected and kind of what the future looked like in our own mind and our own understanding with regard to what it really meant. You know, I'm really serving Jesus when the church pays my salary. Then I'm a real Christian and I'm really counting for God. And that was something which was in my heart before we were even brought onto eldership. You know, I couldn't wait to get out of the corporate world because I probably never told it to anybody. I wouldn't even probably have acknowledged it and owned up to that myself. But that was like an idol for me. That when you're full-time in ministry, hey, now you're jazzing with Jesus. This is the thing. This is what you're called to. And over time, I've just realized that there were so many lessons that I could have learned when I was still employed by Magna International Movers here that I didn't. And I remember thinking, I don't think I even prayed it out, but I remember thinking, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I really, now that I have an understanding of what it means to be in the marketplace and my life is holy unto you and everything that I do is in service and worship to you, I remember thinking, if only I had an opportunity to do that again. And church, you know what? God in His grace gave me an opportunity to do that again. I consider it a gift. It wasn't instant. I fought against the thing and bucked against it and sometimes thought, Lord, what did I do wrong that I've now got to be working again in a surf shop? Is there something that I've missed? You know, could I have done that? Have we been wasteful? And honestly, I can say that I don't believe that's the case. I think God in His mercy has given us another opportunity to have a go at this thing called real life. And I want to say to you this morning that the mission field of the marketplace is just an incredible place. It is so exciting for me to get up and go to work in the mornings. Okay, I work in a surf shop, so I mean, come on. It's a fantastic environment to be in. But when God opened this door and we sensed Him saying, my boy, this is what I want you to do. This is one of the ways I'm going to provide for you is through this job. It was so much more than just about the bucks. It wasn't just about providing. It was as if God was saying, I want to honor what was in your heart to do. I want to give you another crack at living in the marketplace and valuing what it means to have a job and to see that as so much of an area of ministry, of living and preaching the gospel. In Jeffreys Bay, it's not a massive city. And so I felt God say that actually I'm putting you there as well, my boy, because I want to establish some sort of integrity for you in Jeffreys Bay. I want to give you a footprint in the community because there are many churches that have come in, shut down, blown out of town, and there's this amazing opportunity just to kind of be in the city. And God says, I want to do that so you can establish some sort of integrity here, that you're here for the long haul, that you're putting down roots. It was also to, in my own mind, I think, just to break down some really unhelpful thinking of what it meant to be full-time in ministry. Also for those folks who are part of face-to-face church to realize actually it's not some sort of golden chalice to be on full-time paid staff. Just to break mindsets in the community, in the city of J-Bay, about what it means to be a Christian and even lead a church. That's not some stereotypical thing. That God does it differently. He does it differently with each one of us. And so the question to you is, are you willing for God to do differently in your life what He wants to do? Different in your life. I've learned to value my time so much more. It's amazing. You don't realize what you have until you don't have as much of it. Whether that's money, whether it's relationally, and time is one of those things for me where I just realized, sure, actually I hadn't really been a good steward of time. I'd been wasteful because I had so much of it. And that's been a lesson for me, is learning to value the time that we have. And you probably experience it more than we do living in a city like Cape Town where there's a massive pressure. The heartbeat of Cape Town and the flow, the rhythm of life, it can so easily sweep you along. It's so easy to get busy. It's so easy to get caught up with the day-to-day routines. And life changes. All I want to say to you this morning is value your time with Jesus. Value your time with Him. Make Him the priority, because the most amazing thing is that in the little amount of time, the lesser amount of time that I might have at the moment, we together as a family, my relationship with the Lord, just quiet time, I found that even giving Him the bit that I do have leads to Him expanding that. So we give Him a little bit and He actually takes it and He multiplies it. I've seen that happen. I've experienced that. And so if we're faithful in saying, Lord, this is all I have, but I want to give it to You. I want to be with You. I want to be in Your presence. I want to be in Your Word. And watch what God does with your day. Watch what He does with your time. It's been just amazing to see that. I've also learned that Jesus loves surfing. He really does. Rian, back me up, bro. He does. He does. You know, I just find myself getting so serious about this thing called preaching the gospel and planting and leading face-to-face church, got so serious about that that I was kind of not even allowing myself to have fun. I'd feel guilty if I went for a surf, because actually I should be using this time and just learning. You know, how's that? How can you be guilty about going for a surf? But I did. Crazy. And realizing that actually it's good to have fun. When Jesus said, I've given you life and the fullness of it, abundance of life, that we really embrace life, enjoy it. I know that what's in your heart and you guys as a leadership team, it is to live and to impact people with the loves and the desires and the passions that you have. And so really, go for it. Enjoy it. Love it. Let people see followers of Jesus having the time of their lives and wanting the same for themselves. We've learnt that the river of God's grace, that waterfall that you've got in your, is your desktop picture, Niagara Falls, I think it is, the waterfall of God's grace is unending. It's unending. It's unending. But we experience it by placing ourselves under His grace. And we've found that in this time. We've experienced, and when I talk about God's grace, I'm talking about God's love. I'm talking about His mercy. I'm talking about His kindness. I'm also talking about God giving us what we need for what He's called us to. And so, before, when Wally would ask me to preach at Life Changes Church, he'd normally give me about a month's notice, which is fantastic because I needed about 36 hours to try and get a sermon together. And the amazing thing is that God's grace is on us at the moment. Mishy says that I'm preaching better than ever before. There we go, my darling. Thank you. And doing it with so much less time. And I'm saying that to honor Jesus, because He knows what we are called to. He knows how much time there is. And if there's only 4 hours to prepare, He's giving us the grace for those 4 hours. And so, too little is never too little. Too little is never too little for Him. And we've experienced in our marriage with Michi and I, we've been married for just over 19 years now. And we had a wonderful marriage when we left Cape Town for Jeffreys Bay. But I want to say that God's grace in our marriage has been phenomenal. That we've drawn closer together in this time. I love Michi more now than I did 4.5 years ago. I admire her so much. I respect her. God's taught us so much. Our communication has gone to a new level. I think just in terms of being honest with each other. And for me to see Jesus in Michi and just to see her grow, those of you who don't know her, she comes across as incredibly gentle and compassionate and tender-hearted, and she is. But there is a fierce lion inside this gentle lady. She is passionate about Jesus. She is passionate about kingdom, and she is passionate about the church. And I often get to hear her roar in private when she starts getting intense about things. And it's been such a privilege that there would have been growth, there would have been a maturing in Michi, but the fact that we are walking in the purpose of what God's called us to, we've seen so much of what He has done in Michi, in our marriage, and with our two precious children, Gemma and Jeff. I said I wouldn't embarrass you this morning. I lied. Our son and daughter, if you can, you can stand up. If not, you don't have to, my darling heart. But we've... Gemma, our precious princess, is 12, going on 13 at the end of this month, and Jethro just turned 10 a little while ago. And part of the river of that grace of God is just seeing how as a family we're enjoying this journey together. And just seeing how Gemma and Jethro have experienced, when I say the blessing of God, I'm talking about His goodness in every way. They've seen that. They have been on the receiving end of so much of God's goodness. It was tough for them to leave here. They were born into Life Changes Church. They had a circle of friends of about 50. Where we lived, there were about 8 children living in the complex. And so they had friends right around them, just a click of the fingers and they could play. And that's changed for them. And Jemmy said something beautiful the other day. She just said she feels settled in J Bay. She feels like it's home, even though she misses Cape Town. It's like God has done something in their hearts. And it's been precious just to see how the lesser time that we have as a family together, is actually God has just taken them. He's molded our hearts together. It's been a precious, precious time as a family. God's sovereignty. He's in control. We're not. I think God's taught us so much of how not to lead people. Just chatting with Cheryl yesterday, I think it was, and just understanding that so often we speak with every good intention, but oftentimes we're using words that come from us and not from God. And so one of the things we're trying to learn is actually shut up unless you know that it's God speaking. It's a tough lesson, eh? Yes, it really is. And I feel like we're only just beginning that. We haven't got that waxed in any way. We still speak a lot when we should shut up. But just learning that, what Peter says about speak as though speaking the very words of God. Speak, weigh up your words. Because there have been times, there was a couple that were part of the life of the church and they started dating. They were an older couple. They were probably into their late 30s, even early 40s. And you know, trying to manage the situation and help them not to fall into sin, they hadn't done anything yet. But, you know, wanting to preempt possible sin, sexual intercourse, we just want to stop that before it even happens, you know. And so what we did is, out of a fear, really, and wanting to manage people's lives, we spoke when we hadn't been invited in to speak. It wasn't an issue of sin. It wasn't an issue of character. And sadly, that couple left the church. And it's not the first time, it's not the only time, but I don't want you to be weeping because we've blown it so badly. But there have been other times where there are things that we've said without really saying, Lord, I know this is on your heart, but what do you want me to do with this? Do you want us to say this or do you want us to pray it? And so just learning, when is it something that we carry in our hearts? When is it something that we pray in? When is it something that we speak? Do we know with conviction that God's called you to say this to this person now? And we're talking about things that address character, that address sin. So we're not talking about general conversation. We don't want to be ridiculous with that. And we've just seen how, in spite of all of this, that in spite of all of our mistakes, how God still used us. In spite of the different ways that we've blown it, dropping the ball, missing the mark, we've seen how God has taken those things, and He knew that it would happen. Before it happened, He's factored all of this in to our destiny. And while we were sitting with worship this morning, there was just something I felt in my heart to share with you. Many of you are living in this, but there might be a few of you here this morning that I believe it is on God's heart to say that the time for you is now. The time for you is now. I believe that there are probably some of you, possibly some of you here this morning, that are thinking, how could God possibly use me in the light of my past? How could God possibly use just me? What do I have to give? How could God use me when I look at my marriage, when I look at my job, when I look at my life that might be falling apart? I believe that God's speaking to you this morning and saying that your time is now. Don't wait for perfection before you make yourself available, as Wally said, before you put your hand up and say, God, here I am, use me. Because if you wait for that time that you don't make a mistake, or you wait for that time where you're perfect, you will never be in a place of surrender and submission to Jesus and His will and purpose for your life. The time for your life changes is now. It's so exciting for us, just being up the coast a few hundred kilometers and just hearing the good things that God is doing in life changes, through life changes, in the city of Cape Town. And it was like Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says that your faith has rung out beyond Cape Town. The faith of Life Changes Church, the works of obedience, of love, of faith, have gone way beyond Cape Town. And they're resounding right the way up the East Coast and into the nations of the world. We've learnt a little bit about covenant love. What it means to love regardless of what comes back to you. Learning to love the church the way that Jesus does. Learning to see her the way that Jesus does. And so we've had an amazing opportunity, and sometimes it's painful. when people that are part of the church back off through offense, through unfulfilled expectations, through things that happen, and they're your friends. They are real friends, but they say, you know what, I'm not willing to talk about what's happened, and they back off. And it's possibly easier in a place like Cape Town to avoid them. In a place like Jeffreys Bay, it's less easy to avoid people that you might have relational issues with. And it's been amazing how many opportunities we've had just to live out what this covenant love really is. Is that I don't love them just because they're part of the church. I don't love them just because things are going well with Jesus. I don't love them because they're faithful in their attending. I'm learning to love them. We are learning to love them even when they're bucking against the harness of God. Even when there are relational issues and it's awkward. Even then, when people have turned their backs on us, is learning to love them, because truly that is what Jesus' love is. It's unconditional. Regardless of where we are, His love pursues us. He never gives up. And we're learning to live in a little bit more of that. I've asked Mishy to share a few things that are on her heart. If there's still time, oh, how are we doing for time? A few minutes, 5 minutes. Is that okay? Wonderful.
I was sitting in my chair thinking, do I tell you some horrible stuff in my heart and how Jesus actually has to save me every day? Or do I go with the humor? A bit of both. Okay, so I start praying, Jesus, show me how you're sovereign. You know, and when you tell people, they say, like, where you are in Jesus, what's He telling you? And you're like, oh, I'm asking Father God to show me how sovereign He is. It sounds so spiritual. And He popped up one day and He said to me, I'm using you, Anta. I mean, I'd have to be sovereign. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, of course. And I mean, some of you know, like, the stories when we got to J-Bay, I've kind of notched up some. Is it okay to go there? Okay. Okay. So we get to Jeffreys Bay, and apart from preaching the gospel, just be who you are. Get to Jeffreys Bay, fruit and veg city. The assistant manager is sitting on the bar stool, and there you can't just go and help yourself. Should I go there, Charles? You can't help yourself to the nuts and the... You've got to ask for help. So, and he looks quite special. So I walked up to him and said, can I see your nuts? It's bad. You know those awkward moments when time passes and you think, put the words back. And actually, he's Afrikaans, so I think it was okay. And then I left. I left fruit and veg, and I never went back for a while. Then we made friends with a stunning couple whose wife is Swedish. And we've learned some Swedish. But we didn't know what the words meant. So we went for a braai, and they know why we're in Jeffreys Bay, and we're having a wonderful time. And this lady's going back to Sweden, and so Murray, we leave the braai, and Murray brings out his best Swedish. And I don't want to be outdone, so I'll bring out my best Swedish. And this lady's like, blank. And I'm thinking, oh, she hasn't heard me, so I'll say it again louder. And she's, stop, 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 you're actually swearing at me in Swedish. I'm like, no, Lord, why not Murray? Why me? When I was the one who could set your heart free. So I'm like, okay, get over that. She goes to Sweden. They're still our friends. We still wave and everything's fine. I managed to pull out the air hose at the local BP garage, pulled in, filling up with air, making friends with Brett's uncle, saying, you must come round for some supper. You're new to Jeffreys Bay, you know, doing the whole churchy thing. And then I pull off and the tube is still attached to the The kids were in the car. They sank low in their seats. We're on our way to school. I'm like, Jesus, is this the way you spread the gospel? Is this what you're wanting, Lord? Oh, my word. And then, oh, do I tell the secretary story? No, okay. That one's banned. But Jesus is awesome. Jesus is awesome. I think he is awesome. I feel like I need to be saved more now in my life than I've ever needed to be saved. And I was saying to Shills when we were here, sorry, I'm really like, I'm a big marshmallow. But when we were here, it was so easy to love. It was so easy to love. And I think that's because you're on team with people, and then we leave. And I need Jesus every day. I'm nothing. We are nothing without Jesus. We need to go to Him and say, Jesus, fill my heart with Your love and Your compassion for people. And there was this one person, like Jesus just been teaching us this thing about love. And there's this one person in Jeffreys Bay, and you know, small town people talk. And this person's probably got one of the worst reputations. She has children to different daddies. And whenever I saw her, she'd just be pregnant and walking on the road. And I felt just to say to her, when she has the baby, I'd love to just come babysit and give her some time. And I did that. And when I pulled away from her house, Jesus said, that's who I've come for. And I was floored. Like, so much of my thinking is, I'll decide who I share the gospel with. And Jesus was calling her. She had the most amazing encounters with Him. And He said to her, choose today who you're going to serve. And she said, no, she wants to give her heart to Jesus. And she did. And she became part of the life of the church. And Jesus just lavished her with stuff. Like, she really needed stuff. She needed furniture and food and love. And Jesus, you know Jesus. He gives without expecting anything back. And then she got work, and then there were Sundays that she couldn't come to church because she was tired from work. And now she doesn't come anymore. So we see each other and we wave. But there was a time where I just got so, like, ticked off, because I just thought, you're not going to abuse my Jesus. You're not going to come and just get all the goodies and then go. And Jesus said, but that's like Jonah. Unless you've got Jonah thinking in your heart. And you don't have that spirit. You're of a different spirit. You're of my spirit, where you don't get to meter out the love to people. You just let it flow. And I want that story to encourage you, because it's not us. We have nothing good to give. Zip. Squat. Nothing to give to anybody apart from Jesus. But with Him, letting Him fill us, we've got everything to give. And I love Him. I love Him with all my heart. And the reason I love Him is because of this place. Because of Wally and Shirley and Life Changes. And that's why I love the church. I love, love, love the church. And guys, I just want to bless you. We want to say thank you for your love, your prayers, your faithfulness. Coming into this place this morning and seeing all that you are doing and what's happening here, it puts courage in our hearts. It blesses us. Thank you.
Something that we've learned, just as Michi is talking about reaching the lost, is that we're often more offended than Jesus is to be around people that don't follow Him. We often distance ourselves from those who use the most incredibly foul language and do the most incredibly vile, sinful things, because it offends us, but it doesn't offend Jesus. He came for those very people. And as Mish said, we don't get to choose whom we love. Jesus does. Jesus does. And so I trust that you'll be provoked this morning, that the next time you encounter the unlovable, that you will know that God hasn't called somebody else in Life Changes Church to love that person. He's called you. He's called you. And He wants you to love unconditionally. He wants you to get in the places and go. I know this is what is beats in the heart of this church, is to be in your community making a difference. Where is your community? They don't live in church on a Sunday. Your community is in way different places than we're often comfortable going. It's out in the streets. It's in the bars. It's in the pubs. And I'm talking about if you're free and healed and living addiction free. But getting into the places where your community meets. Meet them there. Let them encounter Jesus in you. Because the truth is that in our society, less and less people will probably be found in churches on Sundays and Wednesday evenings. But we, the church, have been mobilized to get in to the city to meet them there. We are all missionaries, and the only difference is whether we are good ones or bad ones. Your life preaches a gospel. Make sure it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with one thing this morning. We've had the privilege of seeing Michael and Steph and her husband Calvin and Wens. And one last thought that I want to leave with you this morning, as we have seen such an amazing difference between those people that are willing to let Jesus in, to come and heal, to come and love, to come and set free, to come and deliver. We have seen such a difference in how they live when they do that compared to those who run from the hand of God's loving work in their lives. And so I urge you this morning, if you know God's at work somewhere in your life, don't harden your heart to what He's doing. We've seen the difference in our own lives. We've seen so vividly in the lives of others, where one man, a friend of ours who's part of the church, going through an incredibly tough time. His marriage is falling apart at the moment. He's got to find a new house. He's not getting by on the income that he has, but he says, Jesus is at work in my life. I know that I want to be set free. I need to be from the spirit of rejection. And he says, come and pray with me. I want to be free of this. I know this. And we've seen Jesus set him free, become a new man. And we've tragically seen another friend in the life of the church in a similar situation who said, I'm not willing to deal with this spirit of rejection, who's actually bailed and is no longer coming to church. Jesus never needs a second invitation to come in and do what He needs to do to make you more like Him, to set you free, to heal you. So just say yes that once and live in the wonderful freedom that He has, because the truth is that church is a messy, inconvenient, awkward, bloody, sticky, beautiful, precious, glorious thing. And we have such a privilege of seeing what God has done in face-to-face church, and to be a part of that, and to know that what lies ahead of us is better than what we've experienced. And so what He says over face-to-face church, I say over Life Changes Church this morning. And that is, folks, that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Thank you so much, Wally and Shirley. Thank you for the time, the opportunity to feedback. Just to, hopefully honor and encourage.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.